Good morning. I trust you're good, and we ask for God's blessings and protection over your lives and every endeavor and every aspect of your life and reality here on earth. The start of this new year has been what it is, and some people think and feel like this new year is too much like 2020, but it is a new year, and we have new opportunities and new challenges as well. And we hope and pray that you will choose to live it and approach everything that this year brings with gusto and in faith, with an attitude that God is a good God and He watches over us and He is a faithful God. We also are praying that the conditions caused by the pandemic will lighten. We put our trust in God. We are happy that vaccination is starting to be available in Romania and in other places around the world. And as people choose to do so, based on your own research and based on your conviction, and you know, but follow the advice of people who have medical and strong advice to give you, not just opinions, because opinions you can find everywhere, but not all opinions have the same weight from a spiritual point of view or from a medical point of view. And may God bless you and protect you. And please let us know if you can be of assistance. I know that because of the pandemic, because we haven't been able to meet in person, because mostly we meet on Sunday online, and we are happy for the small groups, we're happy for the connections, but let us know if we can be a blessing to you. If you know of somebody who is suffering or has a specific material need or something else, we want to be a blessing. We are here for each other, and may God help us to stay like this regardless of the temporary circumstances in which we find ourselves. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and faithful in every season. At the start of the new year, you know, we always think of new things. We think of how we can live life, you know, from a fresh perspective. And we want to leave things behind. Or sometimes we want to leave things behind, but they keep dragging, you know, they keep hanging on to us. And many times, even among Christians, we find ourselves in this tension that we have these new desires, we have these new things that we want to move towards, but sometimes the old still keeps us grounded and still keeps us down, not just grounded, you know. And we've been sharing, you know, when we saw how God can renew our lives and bring new perspectives. But oftentimes, for too many Christians, for people who love the Lord, life doesn't seem to be the kind of new life, that fresh life, that abundant life that Jesus has talked about. And today I want to share with you, and maybe also in some other Sundays ahead, about the transformation that God wants to do in our life, not just for us to have occasional spiritual encounters and occasional times when we feel and think of new things, but that we can live based on the new life that Christ has brought to us. And there is no doubt whatsoever, whoever reads the gospel, whoever reads the epistles of the New Testament, for us, for anyone who reads them, not to understand that God is up to new things and He wants to transform and He wants us to live from the new life. Like it says in Ephesians 4, that whoever has learned life in Christ, we learn that God is renewing us, that He's bringing new life, and He is causing us to take off the old life, you know, like an old cloth, like an old coat, and put in the new life of Christ. And this is what I want to talk to you today. And I want to read a passage from Romans chapter 12. And the first couple of verses in this chapter says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Wow, there is so much in these two verses that I just read. And I want to take some time today to unpack them. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will make the things real to each and every one of us. Because this is basically the essence of what God wants to do in our lives. And the verse starts by saying, therefore I urge you. So obviously he's referring to something. What is this therefore that he's referring to here? Well, he's basically referring to the first part of the Epistle of Romans, to the first 11 chapters in the book of Romans. And of course, I cannot give you a short presentation of the whole first part of the Epistle of Romans because there is so much in those 11 chapters. But you know, and some of you know, and I encourage you to reread this epistle because God is talking through Apostle Paul about his plans for humanity. He is taking us through an anthropological and philosophical and social and relational history of humankind, how we all try to know God, and how different people, you know, whether we talk about the people of God, the chosen people of God, Israel in the Old Testament, or we talk about those who are from among the Gentiles, regardless of background, regardless of religious affiliation, that in the end, we all fall short. We all ended up being under bar, under the standard. And that's why the famous conclusion is Romans 3:23, for all fell short of the glory of God. But then the good news comes in, that Christ has come for every person, for Jew, for Roman, for barbarian, you know, in our context today, for European, for non-European, for Africans, for North Americans, for Canadians, for South Americans, for Filipino, for Nepalese, for Chinese and Indian, for every person, Christ has come. And then in the following chapters, you know, chapters 5 and 6 and 7, we see what that means. We see that now through Christ, through faith in him, we've been baptized, you know, to new life, and how Christ is that hope through the gospel for everyone. And whoever is in Christ, the new being, you know, and there is no longer any condemnation for, not because we are perfect, but because Christ is perfect and his righteousness is being given to us. And we have a new cover. We have this new righteousness that we have in Christ and so forth. And then he explains that, you know, Israel will one day be reconciled with God. Even many of them did not recognize Christ. But we, the new people of God, we've been planted in the tree of faith, you know, in the lineage of Abraham. So basically all of this great truth that we find in the first 11 chapters of Romans, all of it, it's the background, it's the foundation for where Paul gets here in chapter 12. And just like Martin Luther said, the book of Romans, it's the gospel maybe in its purest form. It's like it explains from a theological point of view, but also for people to understand who God is and what he has accomplished in the gospel. So when we talk about the gospel of Christ, when we talk about Christian faith, this should be our gold standard. Yes, we often prefer to look at people, we look at church history, we look at people who come up with the name of Christianity and the banner of Christianity, you know, but that's not the gold standard for us. And this is not the way for us to understand, evaluate, and choose Christian life, but rather to look at Christ himself, to what he has accomplished here on earth, to what he has done, and then to what he, you know, the foundation that he laid through the apostles, the foundation that is laid in the first 11 chapters of Romans. And all of this gets here, and in chapter 12, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Obviously, he's not referring to an actual sacrifice. You know, the idea here is not for us to, you know, to bring our bodies as a physical sacrifice before God. Basically, he's saying, is like, this is how you choose faith. In view of God's mercy, not in view of some religious activity, not in view of social pressure, not in view of traditions. All those things have some value. But the only good reason, the only strong enough reason, the only logical and the only ontological reason to choose to offer yourself to God, to embrace Christ, it's God's mercy. And when you, but by God's mercy means like everything that God has done and mostly exemplified and embodied in the life of Christ, who came to show us the way to God, and then in the end, he gave himself for us. So in view of that, in understanding who God is, just like the ending in chapter 11 says, for through him and of him and for God, through Christ, now we come to this point of decision. We come to this point where the only proper response for us, the only right response for us is to offer ourselves. We respond to God. You know, just like the famous painting there in the Sistine Chapel, like we reach out to God and God reached down to us, and in Christ he made the connection that was impossible otherwise. And the right response is for us to believe, to follow, to offer ourselves completely to him. This is the true and proper worship. And then he goes on explaining that we are not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. And there is so much debate, and there's been so much debate, you know, over history about what it means to conform to the pattern of this world. Because, you know, different times in Christian history, people, you know, assimilate these words with a certain fad, a certain fashion, a certain philosophy. But basically, the pattern of this world is the thinking that doesn't put God first. It's anything that tries to come and be in competition with God and take away from God's preeminence and from God's plan in our life. And yes, through the centuries and through the seasons, in every century and every decade, there is a certain manifestation of that spirit of the world, of this pattern of the world. You know, like in the 20th century, different times it was atheism, you know, or at other times people see power and all sorts of isms. You know, in the start of this new century, we can say it's postmodernism. It's some of the ideas associated with hedonism or consumerism. All those things together represent the pattern of this world. And, you know, the Bible tells us very clearly that we are not to be confirmed. We are not to live according to that. Or to put it another way, we are not to dance according to that music. But what are we to do? And here's the key verse, the key phrase in this passage. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word there in the original language in Greek is metamorphosis. It's that process, you know, that describes a full change. You know, just like it happens to the butterfly, you know, that it transforms not just in shape or color, but it's a different kind of a being. And this is what we are taught by the Word of God to do, that we are to start dancing according to this music of God, to this music of heaven, to put our life in harmony to His plan so that our mind will be renewed. And only then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It sounds so simple, because this is what God is telling us. I've done everything. This is what I've done. And there is nothing that can separate you from my love. Like, you know, the book of Romans says, like chapter 8 and chapter 9 explains it very clearly. Nothing can separate, not angels, no power, no pattern of this world, no principality, not even your own mistakes can separate if you look to me, if you live according to the guidance of the Spirit. But what are we to do? We are to make a conscious choice to no longer live according to the impulses of the human flesh, of the life on earth, but we are to connect with this life in Christ. It's the same thing that Jesus told Nicodemus, that, you know, the teacher of the law who came, who recognized that Christ is not just a teacher, not just a gifted teacher, but he was from God. And Jesus told him, unless you are born again of truth and spirit, then you will not be able to see God. And this is our new life. Through Christ, through faith in him, we are birthed. And we are becoming new beings. We are being brought back to life. And not only we are brought back to life, we are supposed to live this new life in Christ. So not only that we are supposed to every once in a while get like a, a touch from God and an experience with God that will lift us up again, that will give us a new hope and faith. But we are to live in this new faith. We are to expand and grow roots in this new life. Or like another way that Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, we are supposed to be the kind of people who build our lives, who build a house on the rock. These are the people who hear to the word of God and follow them. Not just every once in a while, but consistently. And this is God's plan. And when we do that, then we'll be able to discern, to approve, to put in practice the perfect will of God. This is what God is calling us to do. But for anybody who followed God, Christ for a while, who's been around the church for a while, and when we look around, even you know, if we're honest enough, when we look at our own life, we know that sometimes this is not our experience. It doesn't seem that we are really living this process of renewal. It doesn't look like we are metamorphosized to this new life that Apostle Paul spoke about here in Romans 12. You know, why is that? And yeah, we can offer many explanations for that. But I want to share a little bit kind of like from what I observe, you know, from my own experience and from the experience of other people that I dealt with, you know. And again, it may seem a little oversimplified, but, you know, when we have life, you know, some people see life, you know, as a line and, you know, we move on. And from the time when we're born, from the time we are conceived and, you know, eventually when we die, and there are many important examples, like somebody that is very dear to me, it's turning 18 today, so it's an important life. You're becoming an adult, and then, or you know, when you get married, children, decisions, when you get baptized, you know, other people feel like more life is more like in a circle. But for many Christians, for many people who come to God, the circle is not always an uplifting circle. You know, it can be an experience when we live life, you know, and then we have a moment when we meet God, when we follow Christ, when we understand the gospel. For me, it was the summer of 89, a tremendous moment, amazing moment, changed my life. God brought joy and perspective. But then we carry on with life. And sometimes, yes, life takes off, you know, and it's an uplifted process, and it's good. But in reality, many people seem to kind of go like this. We kind of go around, you know, and we end up again in a circle of hopelessness, or we get to a situation where we don't have the joy of the salvation, just like it happened to David, you know, after his experience with Bathsheba. He lost the joy of salvation. He lost that steadfast spirit. And what do we do? And I shared with you that we need renewal. That's why we have to come before God and ask for renewal. And we have an experience. And often people do that. They call that an awakening. They call us a rededication. And we need that periodically in our lives. But many people, they continue just to go like this. So we kind of go through this experience. We have a moment of renewal and something amazing, and it's good for a while. But then, and let's say this is the light side, the good side, but then we kind of go again in this dark side. And we, you know, life seems to be kind of like a vicious circle. Instead of being this new abundant life that Christ has commanded to us, it goes more like this. And if we talk reality, sometimes some believers, we don't even continue in this circle when we have fresh encounter with God and we have reawakening. Sometimes we kind of get stuck only on the dark side, you know. Sometimes we may just struggle to come to the new life, to live from the perspective in God. And this is the reality for many of us. But instead of, you know, following Christ and being close to Him, we end up in a life that is full of frustration. On one hand, we know that it is God who we trust and we follow Him, but in our life, there is no joy of the new life. We don't seem to have fulfillment. And that is, according to the book of Romans, because we do not live according to the new life. We are not being renewed, but rather we conform to the pattern of the world, whether it's a religious pattern or it's a philosophical pattern or just a social pattern. But God is calling us and He's telling us to no longer do this, no longer be conformed to the pattern of, but, you know, be renewed, you know, by our transformation, but by the Holy Spirit. And what happens, it's for the people, to kind of do it from another perspective, for the people who choose to get out of the vicious circle and just round around or just stay on the dark side, when we decide to let the Holy Spirit really guide us and we commit to Him and we accept this renewal and we commit to this process of renewal, our life goes on an upgoing spiral. It goes up and up because we are being transformed. Another way that the Bible puts it, we are going from glory to glory. We are going to grow in Christ. You know, we are maturing in Christ. And yes, we still have issues and challenges and temptations and things that we face, but we face them from this renewed mind of Christ. You know, and our, as Apostle Paul says, even our physical body, our outer tent gets weaker with age and stuff. In our inner person, in our spirit person, we become stronger and stronger. That is the model. That is the right model for the Christian life. This is what Jesus talks about, the abundant life. But for that, we need to commit to this process of renewal, to this process of transformation, you know, and becoming more and more like Christ. And this is what Paul is saying in Philippians. He said, like, hey, I'm not looking behind. I'm doing only one thing. I'm pressing forward. I'm pushing myself forward for the price of knowing Christ. And, you know, eventually we will become like Jesus Christ. When we see Him, we'll be perfect like Him. Until then, it's a process. Well, unfortunately, there is also the other possibility. And unfortunately, I have seen this as well. Because, you know, in life, we don't kind of stay at the same level. In life, you either move forward or you go backwards. It's just one of the realities of life. And to some people, when they get into this vicious circle and when they do not come to renewal, when they do not allow the Holy Spirit to transform them, and they choose the pattern and the thinking of the world, this circle becomes more a spiral, but a spiral that is taking them down. You know, and I'm not talking about having an occasional or a period in your life when you are down or you deal with sadness or depression. That can happen to all sorts of believers. But I'm talking about a process in which we are no longer living by the Spirit. We are not following the guidance of the Spirit. We are not following in the footsteps of Jesus, but rather we let our emotions and circumstances and the people around us and the values of society, the values of our friends and entourage to be the deciding factors in our lives. And instead of becoming more and more like Christ and being committed to that, our lives, it's like we feel like going down in this spiral. And I know it's a bit of oversimplification, but this is our experience. And sometimes people say, well, I have no choice because this is life. You said it yourself, Pastor Christie. This is what happens to us on earth. We go through cycles and we go through situations and ups and downs. Well, yes, but at the same time, it says here that I urge you to offer your bodies, to bring yourself holistically, completely before God. Offer yourself to God and do not conform anymore to the pattern of the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. So it has to do with a decision. It has to do with the commitment that we make to go up, to be metamorphosized, to be transformed to the liking of Christ, becoming more like Him, or just live life at a human experience and allow life to take us down on the bad spiral, so to speak. There is a good spiral and there is a bad spiral. The spiral that takes us up to God and in the new life, into the metamorphosis, or not? The one where we basically just live life at our experience, at a human level, and we just let emotions and the thinking of the world, the pattern of the world, be the deciding factor. And I've seen this so much. I see it with people. It happens, you know, in the way that sometimes Christians approach life. Sometimes, for example, they buy into this whole idea that in order to be happy, you have to be very popular, and people have to like you. And if many people don't like you, then you cannot be happy. That's a lie. And that's why so many people are in this circle where they try to please people, and they try to gain notoriety and the popularity. But on the inside, they're empty and emptier. Or sometimes people think they can fill this void inside with all sorts of trinkets, all sorts of things that they acquire. You know, and I'm not against things. It's okay to have a nice house and to try to have a functional car and some other things. But when we think the meaning of life has to do with what we accumulate, has to do with what much we have, and the kind of house, and keeping up with the Johnsons next door, so to speak, and trying to impress people that we may not even like, but we think that this is kind of brings our value. This is basic us buying into the pattern of this world, you know, where I see it like in marriages and relationships. Too many times, instead of following the path of God and His model for marriage, for relationship, for parenting, we end up in systems and in thinking that is not illuminated by God, but rather it's a byproduct of human thinking. And yes, God created the human mind, and it's a great blessing. But when it's not illuminated by God, when it's not committed to God, when it's not offered to God, and it's not in connection with God, then the human mind, what it does, it turns its back on God, and it takes us away from God and away from the life that Christ has for us. But as believers, and again, we respect people's choices. We respect people's ability and liberty to choose life and to live life according to their beliefs, to do what is right in their own sight, as King Solomon would put it. But at the same time, for those of us who follow Christ, for those of us who follow and claim Christian faith, we should rather follow God's example instead of having this syncretism, this combination of gospel ideas with religious ideas, this combination with God ideas with our ideas. And sometimes we make this mixture and we say this is Christianity. Well, it may be a form of Christianity, but it's not capital Christ Christianity. It's not based on Him, because the one based on Him is what we find here in the gospel. It's the book of Romans, is what we have in Christ. And therefore, in view of God's mercy, we are to live in this new life, in this new thinking. And even though this is fairly simple, many believers are not committed to this process. And I encourage you, as we start this new year, to recommit ourselves to this process, just as the Bible encourages us to do, you know, so we can be able to test and approve God's will. So we're able to bring this sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. You know, something that happens to us as we read and think about these verses, and something that can trick us, because we hear this word pleasing. Oh, the will of God is pleasing. And we may not understand that it talks about pleasing to God, because sometimes we think like it pleasing, it needs to be then easy, right? It's pleasing, it's easy. It's pleasing, it's comfortable. Well, not so fast. I'm not among those who believe that life on earth should be hard. And a sign of faith is that you always go through hardship. Yes, life on earth is full of hardship and challenges, even for believers. Because Jesus Himself said, in the world you'll have troubles. But life on earth is also full of good moments, of celebrations, of gratitude, especially when you choose to focus on the good things of life, on the goodness of God. But life on earth, even when we follow God, and even when we are committed to Him and to this process of metamorphosis, of renewal, will have challenges. And sometimes believers may be tricked to think that because they have hardships, because they have difficulties, because some people may not like them, sometimes even friends or family may oppose them, that somehow that cannot be right. Because after all, it's supposed to be good and pleasing. Yes, but pleasing to God. And let me read a couple of verses to you so we can better understand what God has in mind when He talks about being pleasing. In the book of Peter, and I wanted to read from another apostle, not from Paul, to see that there is consistency here, whether we talk about the words and the experience of Paul or the words or the experience of Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, you know, it says, like in verse 9, but we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you're not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had no received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, right there, the connection. In view of God's mercy, as Romans 12 put it, now you have mercy. Now you are people of God. Now you live in this wonderful light. You are no longer in the darkness, but you are part, you are supposed to live in the light. A glorious people, a royal priesthood. So our calling is to go up and up. And then it says, you know, verse 11 in 1 Peter 2, dear friends, I urge you, again, urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And then listen to this in verse 15. It says this, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. And then he talks about even to slaves. And sometimes many people feel like they're working on the plantation. They feel like life is so hard. Even slaves are supposed to revere God more than their earthly masters and not be afraid. But, you know, and then verse 19, it says, for it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how it is to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it. And listen to this because it's the point here. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. That's the example for us. We are supposed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. All of us, not some Christians, not the initiated or dedicated or those who have been on the way of Christ for 20 years or those who are over 60 or 80, not just Christian leaders. Every follower of Christ, we are supposed to follow in His footsteps. And this is the commendable thing for us, to even suffer for good. Okay, and the next chapter over in 1 Peter 3, it talks again, 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, humble. Do not repay evil or insult with insult. If you read this, you'll see it's very similar to chapter 12 in Romans. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because you're called so that you may inherit the blessing. Okay? And then it talks about, for verse 13, who is going to harm me if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And again, a key verse, verse 17 in 1 Peter 3. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, to bring you to God. You see how similar, like 1 Peter 3 and 1 Peter 2? It's like same thing. You should rather suffer for doing good, because Christ also suffered. He gave us an example, and we are supposed to follow in his footsteps. And again, the idea, I'm not trying to say suffer, suffer, suffer. No, the idea is Christ, 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 following his footsteps, even if it means some temporary suffer. And the truth is that we all suffer at a point or another. And some people will suffer when Christ appears, right? There is no doubt about that. But the thing about it is, why do we suffer? And that's why verse 17 that I just read makes it so clear. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So we can obviously see from here that sometime it is God's will for us to suffer, but we are to suffer for doing what's good. We are to suffer through the trial. We are to suffer through the slander. We are to suffer through the temptation, not to suffer because we give in to the temptation, because we respond to evil with evil. So yes, we're coming back to Romans 12. We can choose to follow God's will, even if that sometimes entails, even if with it comes in a package with some suffering. And yes, in our day and age, to talk about suffering may seem like, yeah, like who wants to talk about suffering? But anybody who lived here on earth long enough know that suffering is part of the human experience. But what kind of suffering, and why do we suffer? Is it part of an experience when we it's pleasing to God? Because when it talks about this sacrifice being holy and pleasing to God, it's just like the connection to the Old Testament, the sacrifice of lambs and bulls and all the other animals, they were just a foreshadow of the perfect sacrifice of God through Christ. But from the Old Testament, you know, whenever they brought a sacrifice, it was to be a pleasing sacrifice. It was to have a nice odor before God, you know. And this is how we are to have life. And the implication is that in every part of our life, in the way we approach our career, we need to not just allow the pattern of the world to say, hey, if I want to get ahead, I need to do this and this and this, and I need to compete with others. Yes, you need to compete with yourself. You need to get ahead, but do it in a way that is pleasing to God. You cannot sell out your values in order to reach your goals. And it's not just in business, in every aspect of life. Like when you want to do good for others, when you want in your NGO, in your work, in your business, reach your goals, but do it in a way that is honoring to God. Because what's the point of getting your earthly goals accomplished if we are moving away from Christ, if we are going on a spiral that is facing down instead of facing up? Let yourself be renewed by this thinking of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit that gives us, leads us to faith, and it's the Spirit that deepens us in this new life. But we are to choose. We are to make a decision. And yes, we make a decision for Christ, but every day we make a choice. Every day before we plunge into society, before we connect with family and friends and colleagues, whether online or in an office or in the traffic, or by phone, in whatever way, we have to make a decision. Do I allow Christ to lead my life today? Or do I just live life as an individual human being here on earth? Do I confirm my thinking to the thinking of God, to the gospel-centered on Christ, or do I live life according to traditions and good ideas? It's a choice. And we make it every day. We make it in every season. So as we plan this year, as you look ahead at this year, I pray that we will make this decision to receive metamorphosis, to allow God to change us, to not continue in this vicious circle. Yes, by all means, let's look for renewal. Let's find those encounters with God, those moments when God searches us and we commit to Him and recommit to Him. But let's be committed for more. Let's be committed that we live a life that is on the light side, not on the dark side, because this is our calling. It's our calling to grow in Christ. It's our calling to be the kind of people that yield fruit. Because when you go down, when you're spiraling down, we are not bringing fruit for the kingdom. We are not bearing fruit. We are not representing Christ, and Christ is not being honored. And again, the idea is not to tell you, don't do that, don't do that. But the idea is for us to offer ourselves to God. Why? For the only right logical reason to do it. And that is in view of God's mercy. Considering what God has done for us. Considering that Christ knows our name and number. And He decided to bring us into His family. And He has grabbed a hold of us. And nobody can snatch us away from Christ, and nothing can separate us from God's love. When we know that, when we do that, then the only proper response is for us to say, God, here I am. I give myself to you. Renew me. Transform me. I do not want to dance according to the music around me. I want to hear the heavenly music. I want to live for you. I know that I'm called for a higher purpose. And yes, sometimes I mess up, and we all do. Even Christians, even those who follow Christ for a long time, we still mess up. But what do we do with our mistakes? What do we do with our messiness? Do we come to a moment of renewal, and do we ask Christ to restore us and continue on this journey of faith and growing? Or do we let that mistake define us? Do let that messiness be the new reality of life. And so many Christians, unfortunately, live this kind of life, and we are not the testimony for Christ that we are called to be. And it all starts with some basic decisions we make. To offer our lives to God, all of it completely, and to allow our inner thinking, to allow for our software to use our technology today, do we allow God to always update our software, our thoughts, our ideas, our priorities, the attitudes of our hearts? Or do we rather say, no, thank you, God. I'm in control. I'm going to choose. You choose. But in the end, the choice is between the old life and the new life. And what's the point of living the new life while wearing the clothes of the old life? The old life stinks. Even if at one time it was nice and attractive and it looked so good and right, if it's not of God, it doesn't bring life. It goes bad. It goes stale. It has no satisfaction. It cannot feed your soul, and it cannot lift your spirit. Only when we connect and when we allow Christ to grab a hold of our hearts, then He lifts us up. So this is the challenge. And it's not just for today. I hope that we make a conscious effort to read this passage and understand that God is calling us to a process. Just like we urged earlier, from the book of John, that we are God's friends. Jesus is calling us friends. He died for us so we can be in his family, his friends. So let's live as royalty, as this royal priesthood. Yes, momentary circumstances can be hard. At times we may suffer, not because we've done anything wrong, but because life on earth brings suffering. even for the children of God. But there is a redeeming value, like I just read in Peter, when we suffer for good, knowing that God sees everything and we are following in his footsteps, rather than to try to avoid pain and suffering and end up being empty-handed, having no fruit to bring before God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will do a deep work. And many of us, individually, because it starts with a personal decision, but then with our friends and others, will choose this process of renewal. And then God will be tested and will get to live a life that is not free of troubles, but is full of meaning. A life that is not void of suffering, but is full of faith and fresh faith. A life that still has trouble and struggle, but has meaning and direction. That's the life that Christ has for each and every one of us. And I pray that we'll choose it. So help us, God. So help me, God. God bless you all.